T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
.105 here with you on a Wednesday afternoon on KMBZ. We have been watching other parts of the country roll back some of their reopening process because of COVID-19 or put new restrictions in place, including St. Louis County, where they rolled back some of the capacity limits because of rising numbers. We, of course, wonder if that is going to be the case here in Kansas City. And the man that can answer those questions for us is Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas, who I know has a busy day and is kind enough to take some time out of the day. We really appreciate it, Mayor. Thanks a lot for being on with us.
It is good to talk to you, as always.
Let's start right there. How close are we to rolling back some of our reopening or putting new restrictions in place?
You know, for us, the story is always on our numbers. We have some significant concerns with the fact that there have been increases in the Kansas City Metro weeks and weeks on end. We continue to, I think, monitor it, particularly trying to see where recent outbreaks have been. One of the challenges with the spread in Kansas City is that so many of our outbreaks are kind of unexplained. We can't tie it to a big factory. We can't tie it to, you know, one business. And so that creates a challenge for us, but it's something that we look to daily, and probably will have more information by the end of the week, early next week, if we need to make some changes.
And what kind of changes are you looking at? I guess would be the obvious outgrowth of that. How do you begin to stem it, or do you just look at the formula that you had in place a few months back and say, okay, we need to put that back in?
Well, you know, we do have the formula from before, and I think some of what you saw before would be similar to probably what you would see in the future if we have to take steps. So that would include a reduction in capacity limits with the view that you have fewer people getting exposed. You've seen in St. Louis County the closure of bars at 10 p.m. as one of the solutions that they've had. You know, we probably here in Kansas City and a lot of other places, you know, it's not so much businesses that people are congregating at, but it's these gigantic backyard parties or the more informal types of gatherings at parks, et cetera, that are presenting a challenge for us. So finding a way to discourage that activity is really more of what I'm probably intrigued in doing than clear just kind of business layouts and that sort of thing.
Are you more likely to do something incremental than a stay-at-home order out of the gate?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to go back to a stay-at-home order. A few weeks ago, I talked to Dr. Deborah Birx from the White House Coronavirus Task Force, and she was talking about how actually doing a few kind of clear steps, particularly, and I know it's a political issue, but particularly people wearing masks, those sorts of things go a very long way into making sure that we don't actually have to go back to the era of the stay-at-home order and those sorts of challenges.
Well, and the main problem with that, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, certainly, is enforcement. And this is something that you and mayors across the country are juggling right now is, okay, how do we do this? Whose job is it going to be to enforce some of these things? And how are we going to, you know, is it going to be up to people to report it? How has that evolved? And what are you looking at as you look at new orders to put into place?
Yeah, enforcement is a huge part of what it is we're trying to do. I mean, I think what I don't want to have happened is we're saying, well, yeah, we're going to shut down all the bars so there's not a group of 50 people on a patio, and then, you know, you drive down any kind of busy street in Kansas City, and if you can peer in a backyard, you see 50 people just standing back there with even fewer protections and likely not wearing masks and,
sure,
you know, any number of additional challenges. So, you know, we've continued to try to lead with a health department focus on it. You know, other police departments around the country have run into some concerns on different enforcement issues. Certainly, we're mindful of the moment we're in, too. And so we'll continue to try to do that, mainly through an educational approach to what we're doing, instead of always just trying to say, all right, we're shutting things down. That said, if we get to a point where it's essential to do so, you know, I will not be reluctant to do so, because it's, I think it's important for public health.
What are your predictions about schools? As if we all had a crystal ball. I know we don't, but I congratulate the Kansas City area and a lot of the school districts for saying we're not going to get our kids in schools right away when other parts of the country are not doing that. But any ideas on what it's going to take for schools to be able to actually have kids in buildings?
You know, I actually listened to the news segment here on KMBZ where they were talking about a school, I believe, in Georgia that had reopened and now they're quarantining the whole class and that sort of thing. I mean, that is why Kansas City government at least recommended school districts wait a little while. First of all, it lets us see the data, the spread. It also gives more time for things like adding contact tracing professionals as school nurses to provide more things like distancing layouts and certainly masks. I mean, that's the only way I think you can really get to quality in-person instruction. But I think, yeah, the way the country is directing now looks as if we're going to take that risk and have classes that need to quarantine, probably whole school buildings at some point. And that's why I think it's safer to be smart and slow down kind of how quickly we're going back in.
I want to skew off of this into the personal for just a second, because you posted something on Facebook the other day, and I want to paraphrase it. It was something along the lines of, you know, I never thought the job was going to be this. You know, there are so many things that are surreal at this moment.
Happy one year.
Yeah,
happy
right,
one
exactly.
Year on the job.
Happy first year on the gig. So of all of that, I mean, with the appearances we've seen on national TV, on some of the news programs on CNN lately, I mean, what has been the strangest piece of this, the most unexpected piece of this for you?
You know, and we can wax poetic on some of these issues that have come up, but I think, you know, really, it's recent. The Operation Legend interaction with the White House, that sort of thing. I mean, it's just very rare that the White House press secretary and then the President of the United States talk about us. And so, and heck, we've had two interesting situations this year. One where the President tweeted about congrats to the people of the great state of Kansas and then the people of Missouri for the Chiefs Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
As I told many, he could have just done both. But, and then the other, you know, the other certainly was that. I mean, it's been an odd year, and certainly a lot of things very challenging. I know there are people that are dealing not with COVID-19, the economic impact, violent crime having a dramatic increase year over year into this year. You know, they've been stressful. But, you know, to take a positive side of it, look, I'm never going to forget being a mayor who gets to stand on the field of the Super Bowl winning team after the game. And as a kid who grew up in Kansas City, never thought I'd be there, and continue to still kind of pinch myself every week, because there's something like that. And I think even in our deepest times, as you know, I've given my cell phone number to everybody. You know, the number of people, you know, I get a ton of complaints, but there's still a lot of people that are just saying, hey, I live in Leavenworth, and I'm praying for you, and love your press conferences, or we hate that you preempt Days of Our Lives, but we still like you. And, you know, those sorts of things really kind of keep you more positive.
Good.
I have to ask what... it seems like our lives have been consumed for the last 5 months. You talk about the Super Bowl, that feels like that was 10 years ago. But the city's been busy with a lot of other efforts, and following you on Twitter is a good way to know kind of what's on your mind and what the city is working on. Can you spend a little bit of time telling us, outside of COVID, outside of the stuff that we hear about Operation Legend, and outside of, you know, how the police department's doing, can you tell us what else city leaders are working on right now?
Amazing thing is, right before kind of COVID spread and all of that, we were actually making some real progress on potholes, for whatever it's worth. And some of the things
that
people really have talked about for years, infrastructure and all of that. You know, another thing that we're doing in Kansas City is hiring a new city manager. That's going to be pretty key for us as we talk about projects like the airport project, which continues to be not without drama. You know, trying to make sure we're getting basics done, the core service delivery that Kansas Cityans need. And I think we've had a lot of very good regional collaboration that in my first few months as mayor, I was able to foster. Unfortunately, it's kind of fallen off during the COVID pandemic. But at the same time, I hope we get back to that, because as I've told you guys 1,000 times, we're one place when we get over it, you know, and it, and figuring out how we move this region ahead is still something I care a ton about, whether I'm mayor or 20 years later when I'm just calling in or writing in on the text line complaining about the next mayor.
Right. Well, and as much as we hate to think about it in these terms, a lot of times what that comes down to is money. And right now, we've got Congress arguing with each other over what, if anything, they're going to do for states and for cities like Kansas City. How dependent are we on that argument coming out in our favor, and what do we need?
Talking about a number of different things. Let me stand up, first of all, for working men and women. I continue to believe unemployment benefits are really quite important and keeping them at the $600 weekly level. There are a lot of people, particularly in the service industry or other folks that were living on tips that are struggling right now. We'll be struggling for a while. So I think that sort of extension is important. The other thing that is intriguing, I actually had a chat with Senator Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri, yesterday about, you know, how the money's been distributed. And even though there were a lot of folks from the right who are from these larger states with not much population like Wyoming, right, they want to be able to keep $1.5 billion for Wyoming, which, you know, with so few people, I think that's about $1,500 per person, it seems. So I think when we talk about helping people, we need to make sure we're fair with it, and that's where cities come in, because we're taking on a lot of expenses, COVID testing, people that are coming in for hospitalization, certainly business impacts. I would hope that, you know, we've asked Jackson County, we haven't received it all yet, but for $54 million of CARES Act-related funding, if we can't get it from them, I would hope that could come from the federal government, and that just kind of pays our bills for health, public safety, any number of those issues.
Well, Mayor Quentin Lucas, we know you have a busy day of meetings. We appreciate you carving out some time for us. We will let you get back to your day. Best of luck, and we look forward to hearing any future announcements.
Hey, you all stay well, and Jamie, I can't wait till you get to travel again, because I live vicariously.
Sir, me too. Me too.
Always great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks, Mayor. We appreciate it. Yeah, no kidding on the travel. And I know the mayor travels quite a bit as well. Thanks a lot to Mayor Quentin Lucas. We appreciate it. We'll have more next. It's 1:16 on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.